supervisors will come into session. Mike salute, Supervisor Valenzuela, would you just please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Chaplain Bradley, kick us off to a good start.
Heavenly Father, we gather here today because it's a time for meeting, it's a time for discussion of issues that affect our county. But even as we have just recited this Pledge of Allegiance, we know that there are things that are so important that we stand for, and those things that are right. As I would just pray for the meeting today, that there would be wisdom shown, that there would be peace, and that there would be good discussion. May we never lose our opportunity to speak our mind, to share what we feel is important. And Father, then we work together with one another. Thank you for all who serve in our county. And thank you for this Board of Supervisors who take this time to deal with the difficult subjects. God, we pray you bless them, give them understanding and wisdom in all decisions. In Jesus' name we would pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Chaplain.
The board will be convening today as the Siskiyou County Flood Control and Water Conservation District and receives no additional compensation. And let's do a roll call. Supervisor Haupt?
Present.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Here.
Supervisor Chris?
Here.
Supervisor Obrin?
Present.
And Supervisor Kopsak?
Here.
Okay, I have a lot of public comments today, so if you haven't filled out one of these blue cards and you wish to speak to the board on an item or during public comment, please fill out one of these. They're on the edge of the table over there, and pass them to Ms. Davis there, our CAO, and we'll get you on the record. So with that, we're at item four, presentations from the public. This time slot is for information from the public. No action or discussion will be conducted on matters presented at this time. You will be allowed 3 minutes for your presentation. The chair can extend the time to 5 minutes for appropriate circumstances. Written comments can be presented, if so desired, by providing a minimum of 7 copies to the clerk. When addressing the board, please state your name for the record prior to providing your comments. Please address the board as a whole through the chair. Comments should be limited to matters within the jurisdiction of the board. And I will be limiting to 3 minutes today, because there's some that are on another item and also during public comment. So no disrespect to the speaker, but I want to be sure that everybody's heard. You can provide written comments if there's additional information that you would wish the board to know. So with that, we're going to start with Clayton Rapola. Have the blue card.
Maybe outside. Clayton.
Good morning.
Good morning, board. Hope you're doing well today. My name is Clayton Raposa. I'm the negotiator for the IHSS contract. We just want to come and speak to you today. We've had a very, very good progress that we've been making with your negotiator. I just want to tell you guys, I know we've had a little bit of a difficult situation in the past, but I really feel like we've made some progress in repairing those. We have negotiations coming up, and I just want to thank you for having the negotiator you do have and the fact that he's been willing to let bygones be bygones and start off on a new foot. I'm very excited to be here and hopefully get, a little bit of something for the IHSS workers who really need it. You'll hear from someone today about that. And I understand, we're in a small community. I was born and raised in Reading. I know the North State has not got money pouring out of its ears. So we're just looking here to do something, good for the community. And we also want to have a more public presence. We'll be trying to go to different events around and, be involved in the community a lot more than we have been. So I just want to come in here and tell you guys, I really appreciate where your negotiator's at and how he's been working with us to move forward and just kind of let the past be the past and start off on a new foot. So that's what I'm here for today. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Jacob Kibitz, I think it is.
Good morning, board. Same thing. Jacob Hibbets here, IHSS union organizer, living in Lansing County, but working with folks in Siskiyou. I want to again reiterate what Clayton said. We're really excited to begin working with a new foot on the ground, working together to make sure that our workers, hundreds of them, are getting the representation they need from their union and the things that they need from their county, which is, above all else, support. And hearing their stories and making sure that you know who they are. A lot of the times our folks are out of sight and out of mind, and that's okay. We're here to be visible, again, as Clayton said. So I just want to be short with that and say we're really looking forward to working with you, making this happen, and for all of the folks in the North State, they do deserve better, and I know that you can deliver. So thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Betty Goodwin. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Betty Goodwin. I've been an IHSS worker for 21 years. I don't even know where to begin. I deal with lots of things on a daily basis. I clean up PCs with spatulas in homes for people that cannot take care of themselves but insist on staying at home. And I do it all on minimum wage. You know, we deal with people with Alzheimer's that don't know where they're at or what they're doing. And it's difficult. It's very difficult. And we don't get any benefits. We don't get any. It's all on minimum wage. You don't work, you don't get paid kind of thing. And I think we could use a little more support from the county.
Thank
Thanks.
You. Lindsay Rio. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Lindsay Ray, and I live in Tom Brook, and I just wanted to...
Hold on. Okay, go ahead.
My name is Lindsay Ray, and I live in Hornbrook in the KRCE, and I just wanted to thank the board for supporting us.
Thank you.
Can you turn the mic up? I'm having trouble.
Okay, sure. Yeah. And when you come up, if you can talk as close to the mic, that helps as well. Shelly Jesperin? Jesperin? Morning.
Hi, my name is Shelly Jesperson, and I live in Waurika now. I grew up in Hornbrook, and I spent a lot of time on the Klamath and on the Iron Gate. It was a huge part of my childhood, as well as my high school years and my adult years. I have a lot of concern for what's going on right now, and I hope that you will consider our concerns, and I would appreciate if you would support us. Thank you.
Thank you. Nicholas Reynolds. Ms. Nielsen. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Nicholas Reynolds. How are you guys doing, board? I just wanted to say thank you guys for supporting us and the dam removal stuff and trying to stop it.
Thank you. Thank you. William Simpson.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, board members. I'm William Simpson. I'm a rancher and a citizen. Up above Iron Gate, former Iron Gate Lake. Moments ago, we all placed our hands over our hearts, swore allegiance to the American Republic, ending with the words, one nation under God, indivisible with liberty and justice for all. We have to focus on those words today because our county is under attack by eco-terrorists. There are looking to destroy what makes this county work. Our economy is under a grave risk right now. The loss of the river and the fishing that was there, all the recreation, people don't really put enough attention to how many people come to this county for that river and those lakes, and they're gone now. And the river is wrecked. I mean, there's a guide here that's been on the river 50 years, went down it just the other day, they filmed it. All the holes are filled in with clay. The clay's not moving. According to GEC, Gethard Engineering Consulting from Seattle, who did the primordial study on that, back in 2006, they found there was 20.4 million cubic yards of clay. And their analysis of the sediment was it was 87% clay. That's them, not me. I'm telling you what they said. And it's iron rich, which means it sits down. It's not like the red clay. Red clay is red because the iron is oxidized. It's iron free. So it has different oxidation states. So the iron in that clay is black iron. It's like you see it get in a gold pan. It's heavy. It goes down. And pulling that clay down, it's sitting there. They're going to have to dredge that river out. And this river is not going to recover. Their plan is not working. It's very clear to anybody. I've been around this river my whole life. I'm 71. Okay? And I can tell you right now, that river is not going to come back without a lot of work. And my main point right now is we have a ticking time bomb up there. We just saw what 5 million cubic yards did. Can you imagine what's going to happen in the next flood when it comes down Worth Canyon and scours that canyon and the 15 million cubic yards of clay that's polluted? And by the way, the heavy metals go down. They haven't even gotten to the deep layers. It settles because of specific gravity. So the heavy metals are down deep. There's 15 million more, three times as much. Imagine when the next flood comes. Let's say it's in 3 years and maybe we have a little bit of fish, maybe even coming back. What happens when all that comes down? And it will. A few plants aren't going to stop it. And all of us in this room have seen floods on this river, and we've seen wide valleys with water 4 feet deep where it's taken houses and boulders and barns and soil and crops down the river. Do they really think that a narrow canyon with a few plants in the sediment is going to stop it? Do they think we're that ignorant and that stupid? It's not. The next step here is we have to demand that they remove those sediments like the best engineers said they needed to do. Thank you.
Thank you. Is it Ren or Ken Brownell?
That's me, Bill.
It's Ren. Okay. Okay.
On public. No, on 7B.
7B? Chrissy Reynolds. So, Ren, I have two then. I'm just putting you on for one. Is that right? Okay, thanks. Good morning.
Good morning. Chrissy Reynolds, Copper Lake. March 19, 2034. Equinox, a day that returned, a day that marks the return of the sun. In just a little while, I'll be standing at the mic before you, reading my 3-minute public comment. Assigned B is a partial stack of public comments written by me over the years for sharing my thoughts, feelings, photos, and warnings of things I never wanted to occur. There are people who say this is a publicity stunt, a bogus emergency. I come from the land of bogus. The donated land for the church.
Can I interrupt you 1 second? I'm sorry. It's hard to hear you. Is there people are having trouble? Can we up the...
There's no way to control the volume. No.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Hold on. Just hold here.
I'm just really tired.
No, it's us. It's not you.
This is a very
long. Okay. Thank you.
That's better. Oh, here we go. Thank you.
Do you want me to start over?
Yes.
Yeah, if you want. Sure.
Chrissy Reynolds, Copco Lake. March 19, 2024, Holy Equinox, a day that marks the return of the sun. In just a little while, I'll be standing at the mic before you, reading my 3-minute public comment. Beside me is a partial stack of the public comments written by me over the years to FERC, sharing my thoughts, feelings, photos, and warnings of things I never wanted to occur. There are people who say that this is a publicity stunt, a bogus emergency, I come from the land of Bogus. They donated the land for the church, the school. They educate children. They steward the creek and raise cattle and have for generations. My family has been living this concurrently for generations now as well. I live here. I see the dead things. I guess you could say that death is temporary. Or is it? For the generations of small things that once lived in the river and rely on the river for this year's life cycle and the next, will they have a chance? Until the clay, silt, and sediments are removed, they will not have a chance. There's no reason that people should have to wait for their drinking water to be fixed. There sure is a lot of money floating around for a lot of other restoration projects. How about restoring the drinking water people had before January 23rd with a new well? How about making sure that people, pets, and wildlife will have clean drinking water and safe soil so they are not breathing toxic dust? People who do not live here will tell you we are lying. Why would we lie about this? What benefit does it serve? How does it help? There are people who say this is a bogus emergency. The people up by Bogus are helpful people. We love where we live, and we stand up for those who cannot speak up for themselves, like the wildlife and the elders who now have to worry about their gardens and their pets and their own critical health. Make no mistake, this is an emergency. And by the way, we received notice of blasting on March 14th from a letter dated March 6th. I believe they began blasting on March 8th. We would like to say to the KRRC through the board chair, thanks for the heads up.
Well done. Anyone else in the house for public comment? Seeing none, we'll go to online. Anna? And this is for public comment. If it's for an item, if you want to hold until that item, but so this is a general public comment, I'll call it.
Caller ending in 0126, it is your turn to speak. Ending in 0126, it is your turn to speak. Caller, if you could hit star 6 to unmute. Caller ending in 6926, it is your turn to speak.
Back to that one, unless you see something. Oh, she had moved on.
Hello, this is Francis Mendoza, Mandan Water Justice Manager for State California Salmon. Happy solstice to the board, to everybody there.
I didn't get a name.
Like to say that the Klamath River Dam,
hold on one second.
Being removed currently,
would you repeat the name?
That they're going to have water quality impacts.
Sir, I'm sorry, could you repeat the name for the record, please?
It is Francis Mendoza.
Go ahead. Thank you.
If I could continue?
Yes.
Thank you. As the Klamath River dams are being removed currently, we knew that these water quality impacts were going to happen. They're expected and temporary, They're occurring during high flows when people are not in the river recreating. Over the last 20 years, Siskiyou County, which never engaged in water quality issues, even when toxic algae from the dam turned the river green in summer months, now claiming dam removal is creating an emergency. It is not. Yes, no one should be drinking from the river right now or at all. Fortunately, there are currently no drinking water sources that pull directly from the Klamath River. There were two drinking water sources that previously pulled surface water from the Klamath River that were mitigated in advance of the drawdown process. This is a temporary condition. Water quality has greatly improved since the county's testing was performed in January, and conditions will continue to improve. Dam removal did not create these sediments. They were always in the river, impounded behind the dam, and they are now moving downstream. Before dam removal plans were approved, state and federal agencies engaged in a rigorous evaluation of sediments in the reservoirs. The results of chemical analysis and toxicological bioassay procedures indicated that when released, the impounded sediments from these three reservoirs would not pose a significant toxicological threat to the downstream environment. We expect a significant reduction in the most pressing water quality threat to human health, and that's the harmful algal blooms that erupted in Iron Gate and Copco reservoirs each year, leading to dangerous levels of mycocysteine, a potent liver toxin. AARC has significant responsibility to monitor water quality post-dam removal. The purpose of the monitoring program is to report on the changes that the water quality monitoring program focuses on real-time data, including temperature, dissolved oxygen, turbidity, pH, and conductivity, as well as bottle samples to detect harmful algae blooms, nutrients, contaminants, and suspended sediment. I implore the board to not have an emergency proclamation for all of these things. Are just things that are used as political ploys to be able to take keep the dams up. Thank you very much.
Next.
Caller ending in 0126, it is your turn to speak.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes. Good morning.
Hi, this is Regina Chikagola calling. I'm from Safe California Salmon, but also a long-term resident of both Siskiyou and Humboldt counties, and I live on the Klamath River, and have had to deal with the significant water quality issues in the Klamath River for the last 20 years. And we do have a water quality crisis on the river, but it's not from dam removal. I'm sorry, I study water quality and I pay a lot of attention to what's going on. And truthfully, we have a lot of nutrients that come in the river from farming, from cows, from large ag in the upper basin, and the Klamath River dams took that water, made it warm, and created toxic algae, warm water conditions, and also conditions that killed the majority of juvenile salmon in the river nearly every year from fish diseases. Now the dams are being removed, and there's sediment coming down the river, and it's a lot more sediment-y than it usually is this time of year, but truthfully, some of that sediment is coming off of fires, which is also a big deal in the river. But you know what? It's getting better. Like I said, I live on the river. I see it every day. The liquid sediment releases, and they were released when there was high rain, when it was not a time that we're usually in the river, and when it's not a time that salmon are usually in the river. And now it's getting better, and it's going to continue to get better. And when the toxic algae blooms came every summer, and in some summers turned the whole river bright green, that was such a significant impact to our economy downriver. It kept fishermen and rafters away, and it made everyone very scared to touch the water, and it made a lot of people and animals sick. Now those issues are going to get better. So, you know, as a long-term resident and someone who really cares about the river and someone who really understands how hard local government is, I thank you for your time and attention to water quality issues, and I really hope we can work together on them in the future. But in the truth, everything happening with dam removal is expected. It's short term, and in the end, the water quality is going to get better, and people are coming to the county and to the river to see dam removal, to support dam removal, and to be a part of it. And I really think we can work together to make sure lots more money is coming into the economy from recreation, that the toxic algae blooms of the past hurt. So I'm asking you to not support an emergency declaration. All of this is expected. It's moving through. It's going to get better. The rafters and the fishermen are going to come back, and they're going to come back in droves because everyone's very excited to see what's happening here. So with that, I thank you for hearing me. Like I said, I know local government's hard work. And I hope that you have a really good day, and I hope that we can work together for solutions to some of these other water quality issues that plague our community in the future, because we really do care about the river and about the health of the river.
Thank you.
So thank you.
Next,
Dan.
Caller ending in 7834, is your turn to speak.
Chair, supervisors, and administrator, for the record, my name is Kirk Blaine, and I am the Northern California Coordinator for Native Fish Society. I apologize I could not be there in person today. On behalf of our 18,000 members, 30 of whom are from Siskiyou County and 128 of whom are from Klamath County, the Native Fish Society shares its overwhelming support for the Klamath River Renewal Corporation and their outstanding work to remove the four lower Klamath River dams. These dams have prevented access to hundreds of miles of prime spawning and rearing habitat for salmonids and other native migratory fish for over a century. Native Fish Society is a 501c3 nonprofit organization located throughout the Pacific Northwest. Guided by the best available science, the Native Fish Society advocates for the recovery of wild native fish and promotes the stewardship of habitat that sustain us all. Removing the four lower Klamath River dams complex, and Klamath River Renewal Corporation must navigate numerous difficult situations. Native Fish Society understands there are short-term difficulties for long-term benefits associated with dam removal. Before the dam drawdown started, state and federal agencies did an intensive evaluation of dam sediments. This evaluation showed no impounded sediments in the three reservoirs, which would pose an ecological threat to the downstream environment. We are also aware that KRRC has a robust water quality monitoring program underway that is required to fulfill permit obligations. Native Fish Society agreed that no one should be drinking directly from the river right now. It is our understanding that there were two drinking water sources that pulled directly from the river before dam removal. These water sources were mitigated before the drawdown process started. We are excited to see the restoration of the Klamath River post-dam removal, benefiting the communities of Siskiyou County, Northern California, and Southern Oregon, economically and ecologically. We look forward to the day that the Klamath River is free-flowing with volitional fish passes for wild native fish. Thank you for your time and consideration. Native Fish Society fully supports the removal of the four lower Klamath River dams, and we ask the board not to declare an emergency at this time. Thank you.
Thank you. Next.
Caller ending in 3833, it is your turn to speak.
Hello, this is Holly Ann Hansford. Can you hear me?
Yes, good morning.
Yes, good morning. I want to give my brief testimony of what I saw yesterday. I went out to Kopko Lake Community is still Kopko Lake Community, and a very wonderful gentleman who had been there for a long time brought me out to where his dock was. I'm speaking right now on behalf of the seniors and elderly. When I met yesterday, for example, who are just worn out and tired and devastated, this gentleman can no longer fish. All the fish are gone and will be forever gone from his, yes, it was his backyard. I'm speaking that people say that this is a good thing. It is not a good thing. It is not to the benefit of our county. Whether or not you declare an emergency is Yep, kind of, because I don't think Governor, whatever his name is, excuse me, Gavin, will sign it. And I know it's a wonderful gesture if you do, but these so-called experts calling in are really turn my stomach, and all due respect, this is not good for the community. I don't know what community they're talking about. It's not good for the fish. It's not good for the crawdads. It's not good for humanity. It's not good for fire suppression. There's no amount of mitigation that's going to cause it. When I go to Costco, I see a fire in the future that's going to destroy everything. What the lake looks like right now is might as well be a moonscape of destroyed by a fire. Yeah, it's nice to hear the river, but the land is destruction, the private property that's been destroyed. People have done their all, and then some people are in shock. I'm still in shock. And I thank you for having these hearings. I thank you for hearing us. And this is another notice to all who are listening that this is an infringement against our people of the United States of America, of California, of Siskiyou County, of the individual property rights owners, the individuals who for many generations or even more recently have been here to enjoy the nature, to appreciate the nature, to care for the nature, to love the beauty that we have, that we had, and hopefully in the future will have. This remove the dam phobia, you know, they talk about different phobias. Well, some people not remove the dam phobia, but these people who are phobic about, like, rabid, maybe that's the word, for removing dams.
Thank you.
It's craziness. It's absolutely
crazy.
Thank
you, Ms. Hanser. It's 3 minutes.
It's not for the benefit of anything. So I will conclude this to say that I'm not saying this perfectly, but I will tell you this is a humanitarian disaster. Individually.
Thank you for your comments.
People don't have the strength to fight. But anyway, thank you very much for listening. And this is Holly Hanser calling from Reed, California at the moment. And there's more of the story and less. Thank you very much.
Craig Tucker, it's your turn to speak.
My name is Craig Tucker. I'm a natural resources policy advocate for the Kudrick tribe. I'm running to share the tribe's comments regarding your concerns about Klamath River water quality. As fully disclosed by the project plans, state and federal permits associated with dam removal, and numerous environmental reviews, the draining of J.C. Boyle, Copco, and Iron Gate reservoirs has indeed led to a temporary impairment of Klamath River water quality. You'll know that the Kudrick tribe is a stalwart defender of water quality, adequate river flows, and fisheries. In the case of dam removal, years of study, analysis, and peer review by many scientific panels, including the National Academy of Sciences, concluded that the short-term negative impacts of dam removal were far outweighed by the long-term benefits, and the Kudrick tribe stands by that conclusion. The tribe does appreciate the county's recent interest in water quality and hope it persists. For many years, annual blooms of toxic blue-green algae plagued Klamath River reservoirs and at times exceeded the World Health Organization guidelines for human contact by 4,000-fold. This would have been cause for a disaster declaration, but the county didn't act then. In August of 2022, a mud flow originating from the footprint of the McKinney Fire caused a catastrophic fish kill in the Klamath River. Tens of thousands of native and endemic species were affected. That certainly would have been cause for a disaster declaration. County did not act. And often in recent years, diversions from the Scott and the Shasta rivers have stranded thousands upon thousands of juvenile salmon and blocked adult migration of salmon. We think that's a disaster declaration, but the county didn't act. We hope in the future that the county will work with the tribe to address these and other water quality concerns and act accordingly. We do believe that robust water quality monitoring is important, and we do appreciate the county's taking the initiative to test water and publish the results. We reviewed the county's materials. We did not find any evidence that the results were remotely disingenuous. We also didn't see anything to suggest that a disaster declaration is warranted. We agree with the conclusion that residents should not drink untreated surface water from the Klamath River, but we all know that no one was drinking untreated surface water from the Klamath River before the dams were breached. We'll also note that the county sampling was performed soon after reservoir drawdown. If turbidity monitoring is any indication, that time period represents the worst water quality conditions the project will experience. The timing of reservoir drawdown was planned to minimize adverse impacts to the fish and to river users, or to native fish species and to river users. The Crook Tribe, the Department of California Fish and Wildlife, and the United States Fish and Wildlife Service are currently monitoring juvenile fish migrations. State, federal, and tribal biologists are reporting the capture of healthy wild smolts with little or no mortality. Our crews are in the water now, snorkeling, doing fish surveys, and as this data is collected and processed, we'll be publishing the population numbers. To conclude, the Karuk Tribe supports continued monitoring activities. Currently, the impacts to water quality are consistent with expectations going into this project, that within the range prescribed by applicable state and federal permits, and water quality appears to be improving every day. We strongly urge against a needless request for an emergency declaration.
Thank you. Next.
Georgina Quinn, it is your turn to speak.
Hi, my name is Georgina Quinn, and I don't have as much expertise or background about the history of the Klamath River, but I know that with all of the toxic algae blooms that happened in the past, that I guess just responding to Holly, like, yes, there is a bigger picture than just the sediment in the river right now being making the water bad. The bigger picture is that it was worse. The river was flowing free, and then it got dammed, and then it got worse. It got toxic and terrible, and nobody was drinking out of it, like Craig said. And now there's a prescribed, they're taking the dams down. So this water is, yes, there is, like everyone has mentioned, it was planned that they knew it was going to get worse, and it's going to get better. And I'm just grateful to see that this dam removal has happened. And I'm sorry that the way of life has changed slightly for people on the river, but I know that in the long run, they're gonna see that the river is benefiting as well. So I guess that's what I have to say. I don't think there's any need for an emergency declaration at this time. I think that what Holly said might be true as well. And if the board of directors does request this, that they will be looking foolish. That's all I have to say. Thank you. Thank you for your time as well.
Thank you. Next.
Allegra Berger, it's your turn to speak.
Hello, my name is Allegra Brucker. I was born and raised on the Salmon River in Siskiyou County, a tributary of the Klamath. I have spent years watching this dam removal process evolve, and this was, you know, a big joint project and decision made by all the stakeholders. And the sediment that we're seeing in the river, it was not a surprise. It was known about. It's being carefully monitored, and no one should be drinking out of the Klamath River at this point. As many people have said, the toxic algae blooms and the impacts of the dam on the fish populations and on the indigenous tribe populations downriver have had catastrophic effects over the last many, many decades. And I do not believe that the sediment currently in the Klamath River is cause for a state of emergency. And I thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. My name is Corinna Greenberg. I am a long-term resident of the Salmon River. or lifelong resident of the Salmon River, a major tributary to the Klamath River. I'm also the restoration director for the Salmon River Restoration Council. We've been involved in this long and really historic dam removal process since early days. I thank you to the Board of Supervisors for caring about the river. This is, you know, a really important river and a monumental effort and historic effort that is happening right now. I was around to see the devastating effects of the 2002 fish kill, which was really, truly a state of emergency for the river when over 70,000 adult Chinook salmon died on the river due to the influence of the dams and the toxic algae. I have been to the reservoirs many times and seen in the summertime and, you know, smelled what it's like when the river is a antifreeze covered green with toxic algae, and it has had major water quality problems since the dams were put in place. Like many have said before me, this project has been extensively studied. It's probably one of the most studied projects in the state, if not the country. The sediments have had long-term studies on them to really try and understand how toxic they might be, and just in this entire process has been studied to see what the impacts would be over time, both temporarily and in the long term. And as many others have stated, these current impairments are temporary, and it has been determined by many scientists and agencies that the current impairment is far outweighed by the long-term benefits. And I also totally understand that this is a jarring change. The river is, you know, doing something completely different than it's been doing for the last 100 years. And if you are used to looking to seeing a reservoir there, then, you know, seeing open mudflats can look like a gaping wound. However, when I look at that, those riverbanks, and see all of the native seeding that's been happening and all the effort that's going into it, I can see that future vision of this river corridor being a beautiful free-running river with amazing riparian forest in it. And
I'll need you to wrap up, please.
Yes, anyways, I ask that the board not declare a state of emergency for this. This is known effects, and this is what's happening now. It's completely within what was studied and what was expected. So it is not an emergency.
Okay, I need you to wrap up. Thank you. Next.
Caller ending in 2523, it is your turn to speak.
Hi there, my name is Amber Jamison, and I am the Water Advocacy Director for Environmental Protection Information Center. I just wanted to echo the last few speaker participants in stating that, you know, this dam removal project has been anticipated for over a decade, and the short-term impacts are far outweighed by the long-term benefits of dam removal. At no time has, you know, the Klamath River is not a direct drinking water source for people. You know, the juvenile fish kill that happened, those were excess fish that were over quota for the fish hatchery that have been released, and future releases will be downstream of that Iron Gate dam and will be avoided. The tribe, the Kuruk tribe, has indicated that the natural anadromous fish in the watershed have not been impacted, and that the wild fish are healthy and doing well. And, you know, all these impacts have been anticipated in the environmental document and have been anticipated for over a decade. So I urge the board to not declare a state of emergency. This is something that's been anticipated for a long time, and the benefits far outweigh the short-term impacts. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else online?
Showing no others online.
Anyone else in-house for public comment? Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Rick Dalby. I live in Copco Lake. Where do I start? I can remember 20 years ago going to meetings with Merle Wigginton, Bob Davis, and Earl Lynn. They're all passed away now. But we go to meetings to try to keep the dance. It's obvious we got 270 miles of dead, millions of dead fish and animals. We have a problem. And it's going to affect the whole county. The sooner we start rebuilding dams and releasing the water from the bottom of the dam, the sooner we can fix the issue. The Klamath River, before the dams, had the nickname of the Stinky River. And that's what they're bringing back. I'm pretty sure you all said your oath to the Constitution. I think the Constitution is the only way to lawfully bring our waterways back. That's all I got to say.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Albert Kutsky, and I'm a third-generation fishing guide in this river. And I floated that river just this last week before they raised it again. And I can tell you one thing. There's no place for little salmon, if they do release them for the dam, to go. All the back eddies are full of silt and mud, you will not believe. I've been on all my life, and I've never seen that much mud in it. I'm talking about the mud that's on the bottom. Every back eddy is full. Some of the holes that were 10, 12 feet deep are barely got any water above it. That mud is that deep. And you can't even get out to the shore anywhere to walk because the mud stops you from even getting close to the bank. So I don't see how all this mud can be washed out of this river. I mean, truthfully, though, it's got to be a major, major flow. They draft the river up here just recently saying it's going to help the flow out. They only raised it 400 or 500 CFS. And that 400 or 500 CFS isn't going to do anything. I mean, all big dudes probably fill in more spots. So I just don't see where any kind of little fish could grow, or what are they going to feed on? If every bug's dead already and everything is already dead, how is little fish returned that are going to come out of the hatchery? Where are they going to go and what are they going to feed on? I mean, they see all these streams and creeks. All they go up the rivers up there are the streams. Well, those creeks and streams dry up in the summertime. So they won't be able to live. And they're saying also that none of the native fish were hurt. Well, what about all the baby salmon that spawned naturally in the river? They probably just hatched not too long ago, and they were sitting in the river. Then all this flood comes with all the toxic mud, and the oxygen supply was zero for what they say, 24 hours? Nothing could live. So I don't see how they could say that this is a good thing. Maybe in 20 years it might be a good thing, but I sure see the impact right away is... it's just devastating. And when floating on the river, the smell is something else too. I mean, you go through a riffle, a little bit of breeze, you smell that it's not. And all these toxic blooms they talk about in the lakes, I mean, I'd be dead if it was that toxic. I swam in those lakes all my life. My dogs drink out of it, swim in it, all during the summer. So none of us have gotten sick. None of my dogs have gotten sick. And I hadn't heard anybody else really get sick from it. So what I see is that the dams were helpful in that curating of water and a constant flow in that river all the time. And I think that's why our salmon runs were really good at one time before this. And I had no problem catching fish every year, even when the fishery was closed. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Seeing none, anyone else online?
We have one more online, please. Caller ending in 3960, it is your turn to speak. Agree 100%. Caller ending in 3960, it is your turn to speak. Caller ending 3960. It's your turn to speak.
Is there one more up there? No? So we're done online. Apologize to those that were trying to get through. Not sure what was transpiring there. One more call in-house. Just for clarification, I think, at least from my perspective, this is no longer a dialogue between dams in or dams out. This board is trying to mitigate what's coming after the removal, and that's the subject that we're addressing. It's been a 25-year project. Here it is. It's rolling out. But now with what comes from dam removal, at least mitigating the effects of that and the unintended consequences, things that the model may have not captured are proper, at least at this point. I'm going on to consent, unless there's anyone else. I'll leave it at that. We'll go to consent. Item 5A through I.
5B, it looks like.
5B, we're going to pull yes.
Yep.
And 5G for me. Anyone else?
Okay. Move to approve the rest.
Okay.
Second.
Okay. Have that. Ms. Wendy.
Supervisor Howe.
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yes.
Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
Supervisor Oakley.
Aye.
And Supervisor Kopseth.
Item 5B, Ms. Nielsen.
Good morning. Elizabeth Nielsen, Deputy County Administrator. Following the posting of the agenda on Friday, Chair Kopseth received a template letter from the Rural County Representatives of California regarding AB 2902, Assembly Bill 2902. Based on that template letter, we are pulling this item today to read some new language into the record. There are copies available for the public as well as copies available for the board.
So one for the clerk as well?
And one for the clerk as well. And so with that, I am proposing that the board approve to strike the third paragraph and replace it with the following language. AB 2902 extends the existing rural exemption for the state's 19 counties with fewer than 70,000 residents, including Siskiyou County. Under CalRecycle's SB 1383 regulations, this rural exemption expires December 31, 2026, and cannot be extended. At that time, rural counties will have to comply with SB 1383's collection and procurement obligations, which are ill-suited for the remote and rural nature of those counties and will result in disproportionately high compliance costs related to the amount of organic waste diverted or procured. In light of these challenges, AB 2902 appropriately extends the current exemption period. As such, rural jurisdictions will continue to be exempt from collection and procurement requirements, but will still have to implement SB 1383's edible food recovery, recycled paper procurement, and model water efficient landscaping requirements. And then I also recommend that the board add a fourth paragraph that reads, AB 2902 creates a pathway for smaller counties to innovate, seeks to increase local benefits from edible food recovery programs, sustains the use of organics for local animal feed practices, and facilitates the development of smaller scale community composting programs, period. Then on the last paragraph, I propose that we strike the second sentence and leave the last sentence just so we can fit this letter onto one page. And those are my recommended edits.
And do you have a red line there for me?
Yes, I do.
Oh, and an original as well.
Yes.
Thank you.
This is a bill that Assemblymember Wood and Senator Brian Daly has co-sponsored this as well. It benefits us under the SB 1383 and RCRC, Rural County Representatives of California, is requesting letters of support to help move this across the finish line. So, any questions from board members?
Mr. Bill, the county didn't have to take this on. It was the cities would have had to have. And so when the county took this on, it did it to help the cities out and manage it.
Anyone else? If not, I'd move to approve. I'm sorry, Supervisor Hopko.
Does this remove any of the requirement, the cost requirement that we discussed before the county is going to have to incur?
I don't think so. I think it just gives us that
extension and exemptions.
Exemption.
But not to cost from what I read.
Right. And what about the $10,000 fine or something imposed?
I did not read where it removed that.
I don't think so. But I think the whole point of it is just the extension of the exemption for under 70,000 in population.
Okay. I'll second your motion, Mr.
Thank you.
So Cobb, Steph, and Chris, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Supervisor Help?
Yeah, I'll support the letter, but in all transparency, I voted no on this initially to impose it on the county.
But yes on the letter, correct?
Yes.
Thank you. Supervisor Valenzuela?
I'm sorry, for 1383 or the AB 2902?
The original.
The 1383.
Yeah. Yes.
But the 2902 is your support.
That's right.
Yeah, we'll agree. Thank you.
Valenzuela?
Yeah.
All righty, Supervisor Chris?
I'll be right.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Copsa.
Aye.
Thank you.
Item 5G.
Good morning, Chair Copsoff and members of the board. Sarah Pillard, Health and Human Services, and with me today is Madeline Bryan, HHSA's Housing Coordinator.
So, do you want to just give a brief explanation of what this potentially could do?
Absolutely.
Yes, so at this point, this is not directly involving any transferring of funding or counting. It's aspirational in nature. If we are able to complete the joint application, which involves 9 jurisdictions, and submit that to the California Interagency Council on Homelessness, and then they award us funds, we could receive it's in the MOU, but it's approximately $600,000. And there's a variety of eligible use categories. It's fairly flexible, so we have a proposed budget to start out with. There usually is the ability to change it within the scope of the grant. What we currently have proposed is to have the funding split between four categories. One is services coordination, and our idea would be to seek another provider who could assist individuals who are experiencing homelessness to access employment. So it would be a new program aimed to focus on that population, accessing employment services that are currently available. And then system support, which would be funding the county's participation in the systems and the staff infrastructure that we develop to implement programs from the federal government and to coordinate in the continuum of care. And then we have interim sheltering, which is 10%. The grant requires that 10% be spent on youth, unaccompanied youth. And so we have put that in interim sheltering because it's often difficult for youth to access permanent housing. For example, if someone's 12, they're not going to be able to sign a lease. So we think that a likely category for that service would be interim sheltering. And then we have admin, which is our cost, you know, reimbursing the county's cost of administering the grant.
I have difficulty because it's expanding a program that I think we've already expanded. We have, what, $250,000 going for two full-time homeless liaisons for the city of Yreka, and then we have the showers and laundry for $150,000 a year. I can't support it. I think that services need to be directly to residents of Siskiyou County. The homeless population is growing, and I'm not convinced that it's coming from Siskiyou County, it's coming from out of the area. So I can't support it. Thank you. So board can take whatever action it would like.
Okay, well, I'll move to approve to move this along.
Okay.
See where we're at.
I'll second.
Okay.
All right. Supervisor Hout?
No.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes.
Supervisor Chris?
I mean, aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Yes.
And Supervisor Kopsoff?
No.
Like
we've
got three.
Okay.
Thank you.
Item 6A, public requests. First five. Good morning.
Good morning. Before we start, I'm Karen Potts, the executive director for Siskiyou's Child Abuse Prevention Council and First Five Siskiyou. And I'm Carla Chiraga. I'm the executive director for Siskiyou Domestic Violence and Crisis Center. So before we start, I couldn't help but think, imagine the possibilities when we have this kind of passion and care that we've been hearing the last hour about children. And everyone in this room, I encourage you to keep that energy and that excitement and do something in support of the children in our communities in addition to all your other efforts. The children and youth and their families in our community need everybody to care for them. And please do something to show your care, passion, and support of the most valuable resources that we have in our county, which is the children of Siskiyou County. So April is Child Abuse Prevention Month. It's also Sexual Assault Awareness Month and Week of the Young Child. So we have come together in a collaborative. This is, the third or fourth year that we've been doing this, and just combining our efforts to promote awareness on all those important issues. And we have a proclamation about it. And I have some goodies for you guys, too. The packet of information in there is about all the different programs and resources and supports available to educate the community about the importance of every adult in the lives of children. Before you read the proclamation, I want to take a moment to give the most give our deepest appreciation to Sarah Kalord. Under her leadership, this is my 20th year actually in Siskiyou County, and under her leadership, we've been able to build bridges and break down walls to work together for the good of our communities. So our deepest appreciation to Dr. Kalord and each one of you for supporting the importance of working together in our to strengthen systems and supports in our communities. So thank you.
I have a basket of stuff here. If we could pass it around, you guys could take something. There's the stress ball, which I'm sure you guys need, and some pads from our agency, and also an invitation to our open house, which is going to be April 24th from 11 to 2, and our fundraising golf tournament that we do yearly, which is a really fun event.
And where's the open house?
It's going to be at our office at 118 Ranch Lane. And we'll have good food. Not sure what yet. We always have good food.
I'd ask that you put the basket over here for maybe the general public. I think they would get just as much a benefit out as the county supervisor.
Okay, sounds good.
Particularly the stress balls.
So, are we at that point to read the proclamation? Or
do you
go
have
ahead.
One there?
I've got one here.
Okay.
This hasn't changed, has it?
No, the only thing was on the signature line.
Okay.
Everything else is good.
Thank you.
Yes?
That would be great.
Okay. April 2024, Siskiyou County, or Siskiyou Child Abuse Prevention Council Collaborative Proclamation. Whereas to become healthy adults, all children deserve to live in a safe, stable, and nurturing homes and communities. Whereas children are vital to Siskiyou County's prosperity and future success. Whereas the people of Siskiyou County believe in the celebration of life, inclusion, and hope through our children, and deplore and condemn acts of violence committed upon children of our communities. Whereas the lives of children who have been hurt or lost to child abuse are honored by studying their stories in order to prevent future abuse, protect the innocence, health, and lives of all of our county's children. Whereas child abuse, rape, sexual assault, and sexual harassment impact our society. Whereas child abuse, neglect, and sexual assault prevention is a community responsibility affecting both the current and future generations. Whereas research has shown the enormous impact that positive parenting practices have on a child's social, emotional, and intellectual development and future success. Whereas communities that understand the importance of prevention and support for the well-being of citizens thrive and prosper. Whereas effective child abuse and sexual assault prevention succeed because of partnerships among citizens and all sectors of the county. Whereas April is the month to focus public attention on the needs of all children and prevention of sexual assault. Whereas with leadership, dedication, and encouragement, there is evidence that we can be successful in preventing child abuse, sexual violence in Siskiyou County. Therefore, the Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors hereby proclaims April as Child Abuse Prevention and Sexual Assault Awareness Month, as well as April 6th through 12th, 2024, as Week of the Young Child. We call upon all citizens, community agencies, faith groups, medical facilities, elected leaders, and businesses to increase their participation in efforts to support families, thereby preventing child abuse and strengthening families in the communities in which we live. So, I'm looking for action from the board on this proclamation.
Move to approve.
Second. Motion.
Second.
Second. Okay. Supervisor Help.
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yep.
Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Kopsek.
Aye.
That would be great.
Okay.
I was going to ask for a break. As
okay,
well.
We'll take a.
And it's for all five to sign.
Yeah, got it. All right, we're going to take.
Can we take a picture?
Sure. Do you want this?
Yes.
Do you want it signed before we take the pictures?
Okay, so we are off.